Yeah, Michael's back. Yeah, Michael's back. You know what time it is, right? Oh, yeah, it's time for the Mom and Michael Hour, my favorite hour of the night. And my son, Michael Battle, is joining us all the way from Los Angeles. It is a pleasure to hear your voice, son. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I have two new producers, which I'm really excited about. Craig Schoeffer, we call him Hammer, and Chris Tubbs. And they have done a great job. I'm learning new stuff, man, I'm learning new stuff. And, I like that, but wow. That's all I have to say. Wow. So I'm excited to see how the show keeps going on and on and on and learn a whole lot more about technology and that sort of thing. So pray for me.
I
Pray
love it.
for me.
Speaking of learning about technology,
Did you
I'm
get it?
calling you from. I did. Excuse me, I had to sneeze there.
Bless you. Bless
Yes,
you.
I'm calling you from a brand new phone. I went to the brand new Apple store at the Grove here in Los Angeles, which is one of the coolest retail stores I've ever been in. It is very tall. It replaces what was a two-story Crate and Barrel at the Grove, which is a really popular outdoor mall here. But instead of building two stories, it's just open from floor to ceiling. There's trees inside. It is beautiful, and the whole ceiling looks like reflective glass, if you will. But it actually isn't a mirror. It's cloth. It's like some kind of weird fabric material that, when stretched tightly, looks like a mirror, and it's the entire ceiling. So it's a beautiful store. I went there and got my new phone, which I do probably every 2-ish years. I'm always behind on the new iPhone. But I finally got the,
Yeah, we always are.
yeah, I finally got the 13 Pro with the 1 terabyte of storage. I feel like I'm with the cool kids now. I did it. I did the upgrade. Here's the kicker, though. So, you and I, we leased our phones with our phone provider, and they had texted me a while back, and they said, "Hey, your payments on your phone lease are not going towards the payoff amount." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. I'll, check in and or look into that," which I didn't do. My
You
fault.
didn't do.
I didn't do. But what they didn't make clear, and I now, of course, realize, is that those payments, which were not cheap every single month, were just going to them. They were disappearing into the world of our provider. And I just feel like the default should be, if you have a customer who's paying to lease a phone and their lease period has ended, and they would only need to pay a couple $100 to then own their phone outright, you would just default to having their future lease payments go towards that amount. But
That's the way
no,
it
they do
used to
not.
be, though. That's the way it used to
Yeah.
be.
That's the way it used
So,
to be, but
who changed it and when did they change it? Was it during the merger?
it may have been during the Sprint-T-Mobile merger. I'm not sure. But all the payments we've been making on our phones the past several months have just been going to them and not towards the amount, which, to give you some context, I owe $240 on my last iPhone. And I have paid way more than that in lease payments since the end of the lease period, and they didn't apply that to the full amount. So to get the trade-in value at the Apple store today, I had to pay off the $249, which on the phone with them magically has an extra fee. It became $290 something that I had to pay
What?
first to be able to get the $400 from Apple store to buy the new phone. So it just, I was so annoyed with the whole thing. It just seems like general bad customer service behavior. But in this case, I understand the impetus behind all of this, because they want you to extend your contract. They want that new 2-year deal. And the best way to do that is to entice you with an upgrade. I did get tons of texts about how to upgrade with them and sign on to to this plan, or switch your plan over, all the various options and deals where I could just upgrade my phone and sign, or rather sign a new lease. So I get it, but it's done. And I spent a small fortune on this phone for the first time in my life. Since I've had an iPhone, I just bought it outright, because I was like, nope, not doing that again. I own this phone outright. And well, I mean, I own the phone, air quotes, and then the credit card owns some of it. So
Right.
I'll deal with the credit card later.
Yeah.
But let's just say I own it. You know what I mean?
At least it feels good, huh? Just saying it. Yeah. You know, here's the thing, Michael.
Yeah.
It's criminal activity to me. I don't understand. They know how many people need a phone with them. People that travel alone, salespersons, and, you know, all types of people. All type of people really need to have a phone with them. Women need to have phones with them. Children or teenagers, I should say, you know, have phones. I don't understand why we have to be, it's pilfering. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. And ever since you got me the 11, remember the iPhone 11, mm-hmm. I've had problems with it from day one. You know,
well,
and I go in and say, hey, how come this is happening? I don't understand why this is happening. Oh, you have to go to a different Sprint store, or, you know, this is before T-Mobile came on board. You know, you have to go to a different Sprint store because we don't do that, you know, they're here. So now you got to go across the, you know, the cities just to find the place that actually will fix it or figure out what's going on. It's maddening. And you don't get a chance to find that many stores anymore. A lot of the stores have moved on. I mean, the one that used to be in Hopkins, right off Hopkins Crossroads, gone. That was the one we went to all the time. And there are other ones that are gone. There was one downtown that's gone.
Who was it off of Hopkins Crossroads? Was it the Shane Company?
Yes.
There was a commercial when I was in high school that played endlessly on TV, and it was off of Hopkins Crossroads. It was something. Was it the Shane Company?
Yeah, it was jewelry.
Yeah, there was a.
They were a big sponsor here at CCO at one time, if I'm not mistaken. I hope I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I just whenever I hear Hopkins Crossroads, I just think of that commercial that played all the time.
That's where that Boulevard restaurant is.
Oh yeah, which of course this shows my age. But I can still think of
television
commercials.
Oh, please.
No, compared to the young people out there these days, that I watched TV commercials and like know what they were, and they stuck with me because of course that all of my peers saw the same exact commercial at the same time that I did. And that we could talk about that on our landlines when we would call each other when I was a teenager. That whole world just isn't a thing anymore, you know?
Well, all it takes is for, you know, a few satellites to be knocked out of the universe, and then all of a sudden, we don't have access to much. So that's why I went out and bought maps.
Oh, boy, here we are.
I did, and my nieces and nephews just kind of went, so why did you do this, Auntie? We have phones. I said, because we have enemies in other countries, and if they knock out some of our satellites, you won't know how to get from Minnesota from Minnesota to Wisconsin if you're not careful. So,
but wait.
They laughed at me.
We have to explain this story. You didn't just buy maps and then tell your nieces and nephews about it. You purchased maps as Christmas gifts for your nieces and nephews and then gave them the maps and said, this is for you, dear. And that's why they looked at you like you were crazy.
Crazy. I explained it, Michael. I said, what if? All of a sudden, everything. I mean, we've had blackouts in this country not so long ago.
But, Mom, I mean, you could explain a piece of coal and their stocking saying in case it gets cold. It doesn't mean it's a great gift. see, this is coal. And if you put this in the fireplace and light it on fire,
you'll be warm. Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's a good gift.
No, but seriously, I'm very serious about this. Remember the rolling blackouts in California years ago?
Of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really hard on Californians. Mm-hmm. People didn't quite know what to do with that.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. Trust. I mean, especially what's happening right now. I mean, having supplies and thinking about those things is definitely top of mind. It's just not a good Christmas gift. But, you know,
okay, Mike, I got the message.
It was Joey's birthday, as you know. We've been celebrating last week and this weekend, and we were at dinner last night, and one of our guests at the table was, well, the question was, would you want to go to space? You know, would you want to go on one of the spaceships and go see it? And a lot of us were saying, you know, it's kind of terrifying. And they were telling the story of when they were here, when the big Northridge earthquake hit in Los Angeles, and, you know, they ran outside in their underwear, and all the power went off in the entire area. and there was no light pollution suddenly because it was 4 a.m. No one was, you know, out that much. No lights were on. And our friend said he looked up and suddenly saw more stars than he'd seen in his entire life. You could see the Milky Way. And he said he was more terrified by the view of all those stars and the pitch blackness of it all than he was by the largest earthquake of his life happening under his feet. So,
wow.
So it's interesting because, you know, just having that conversation, none of us who live in major cities, I think, are that prepared to be in that level of just darkness, no power. You have to have a map, you know, especially as you were saying before, since so many of us are relying on our phones to really an unhealthy degree. No, we're not prepared at all, you know, and yes, a map would help, and a crank radio, a crank light will help, sure, but we are a technology generation right now.
Well, there are only two times in my life I've seen some of those constellations and all the stars. I mean, the whole blackness that we would think would be black is just lit up with these stars and constellations. And I'm telling you, Michael, I saw it in Hawaii. I was sitting out by the pool. It was dark. Of course, they don't have much light pollution in, I'm trying to think of the island, not Maui, but the other one.
Not Oahu.
Oh, come on. You're not going to see anything. But the one I went to that I absolutely love, and I can't think of it right now, but that's when I was sitting on the edge of the pool looking up, and I couldn't believe my eyes. So that was the first time. The second time was in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin. I had a chance to see the same thing, and it was just stunning. You're just shocked to see what the sky really looks like because, you know, without the light pollution, there's so much to see. So much to see. So, yeah, I'm grateful that I got a chance to see that. However, if all the lights came off, you know, in the Midwest, I think people would be terrified. They'd be trying to call. They would try to call people and try to get their phones to work. Then they start stomping on it and throwing it down and screaming and cursing at it. And then they try to figure out, where do I go? You know, do you have a flashlight in your car? So those sort of things are real. Have a flashlight. Have a map. You know?
Well, they're real, but of course, there are a lot of people in America that don't live the big city life, who are very much used to darkness or power outages or, you know, lack of immediate fresh water, or, you know, who are just very used to sustaining themselves on a big farm or just living so far out that even having Wi-Fi, having internet at all is scarce. So you and I definitely could come from living the life of living in cities. But some people would just laugh at us and go, yeah, that's life. It gets dark sometimes, and your phone's not going to work, and there's no internet, and you just, you know, it's board games. It's a candle, you know. So there are lots of people who are used to it.
Yeah, you know, make sure you have, you know, peanut butter, rice, some water, you know, that sort of thing, and make a biscuit. Have a great time. Have some fun. Pull out some candles and play some games.
Wait, is that your list? Peanut butter and rice?
No.
Is that Mom's emergency food list?
Hey, we got to take a break. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. It is now 10:24. This is the Mom and Michael Hour with my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us here at WCCO. I've been here for 23 years, just about, and it has been fun. And Michael, of course, I've just so enjoyed having you on as well. Okay, so as we move forward, we were talking in the 10 o'clock, the last few minutes of the 10 o'clock hour, the technology just kind of went awry tonight, and we weren't able to finish our conversation. Javita and I were talking about our show coming up at Crooners on March 18th, and we're really excited about it, but we didn't get a chance to tell people where to go to get the tickets. So please know, if you're listening, croonersmn.com. Again, that's croonersmn for Minnesota. .com. And you can, yes?
Oh, I was going to say, by the way, with this whole conversation you and Michael were having in the first segment and this thing about talking about what happened in the last hour, I just have something to wrap all this up. Technology stinks.
You okay? Are you okay?
Not after what happened in the last 8 minutes of the last hour.
8 minutes, man. Michael, we were rocking and rolling, man. Excited about talking about the show, and then boom.
Ooh, 8 minutes.
8 minutes. That's a long time in radio. Huh?
Well, we're good. We're good now. Happy to hear it.
Yeah, we're good now. Thank goodness. But I'm going to definitely try to figure out what this is and what I need to do about it. So anyway, I'm really happy that you're joining us. And of course, you had a chance to get your new phone. Do you like it?
I mean, I love Apple, so I'm here for it. It's good. And I have to, you know, young people, our phones are our work phones. They are our only phone. It's not just about, oh, I like the new phone. It really is. I need something functional for my livelihood and my entire life. Like I don't know anyone near my age who has a landline. It's just not heard of.
You should be the first.
You should be the first. But here's the thing: my landline would go through probably Spectrum, who also does my internet, and they're terrible. So I feel like even if I had it, it wouldn't be as reliable as the ones that we used to have when I was younger. So we are inclined to spend more money on phones because they have to function. And if something happens with your work laptop or if you're on a work function, your phone needs to be as reliable as your laptop. But it's I love it so far. And, it's been I'm going to tell you, it was a packed weekend for Joey's birthday. We did a dinner on Friday night, and then we did a VIP tour at Disneyland on Saturday, which was, of course, as always, wonderful. It was packed. But Disneyland, as I mentioned before, changed their rules. Masks aren't required indoors if you have the vaccine. LA County, the same thing. LA City, I don't think has changed yet, but other parts of LA that are not LA City, which I know is a bit confusing, but the there are parts of the city that we call LA, like West Hollywood or even Beverly Hills, that are technically other areas that are not part of LA City and have different rules. So I say all that rambling to say the city is starting to feel a bit normal. And as I predicted, people are wearing masks when they want to. Like just when I was at the Grove today, I went into Nordstrom's to look around while I was waiting for my appointment at the Apple store, and masks were not required in there. Some people had them on, no big deal. I didn't because I loved the freedom and just being able to finally take it off. And again, I just had Omicron recently, so I feel like I'm a little protected for a little bit. But it's just so freeing and exciting and amazing. And it's a new thing. And my friend Zach was in town. He lives in Denver, and he's from California. He and I went to college together. He lived in several cities, but came in to visit this weekend. And he was just astounded by all the mask mandates and that he had to show his vaccine card wherever he went to be able to not wear a mask or even just to enter with a mask. And he was saying how in Denver it's just not like that. It's wound down, the rules, that is, wound down quite a bit. So,
well, they have marijuana,
Denver,
they're trying to
had it first.
No, I'm talking about legally.
We had it first legally.
No, well, for people who need it. No, I'm talking about anybody can't buy weed in Minnesota. Anybody?
Here in L.A., yes.
No, in L.A. I'm not talking about L.A. I'm talking about Denver.
But, I thought you were comparing Denver to Los Angeles.
Maybe I was. I don't know, honey. Don't ask me. Pray for me.
I have like four jokes I cannot say that relate to this topic.
Oh, that's so wrong. No, your mother does not do that. Don't even play. I don't begrudge those that do if it's illegal, but no, it's not my thing.
Right, and we were just driving home, and I was in the car, and we passed by a brand new weed dispensary, and it looks like an Apple store. Talking about Apple, it's beautifully done. There are so many here that they're as common as, gas stations, basically. They're everywhere, all across Los Angeles, from downtown to Hollywood, West Hollywood, wherever you go. There are tons of them. They are very upscale. And as Joey pointed out so quickly, he said, yes, we have all these new dispensaries around, and yet there are countless black and brown people still in prison for dealing weed. So it's so true.
It's weird. Oh my gosh.
It's unfortunate. And it's like we're seeing this, multi-billion-dollar economy sprout up like it's nothing, just everywhere. And here, like you mentioned, Denver here, other parts of the country, and yet the pathway to this, to it being legalized, has not been cleaned of all of its wrongdoing.
Wow, all of its wrongdoing. Mm-mm. See, that's why I don't smoke weed anymore. It makes you feel really smart. You say things like that. Hey, Michael, it's time to take a break and do some weather.
I have never smoked weed before in my life.
When I was 19, I tried it. And I'm telling you something. It started messing with my voice. And I said then, no. Uh-uh. I mean, I cut immediately.
Never tried.
Not my voice. So I'm really grateful that was done. It was just done. So when I talk to my nieces and nephews about it, and anyone else that's interested in hearing what I have to say about it,
you look
at me
like,
what?
You point to the map and tell them where it's legal, right? You point to the map and tell them where it's legal or illegal.
You said that twice. Are you okay? No.
I just want to make sure you heard the joke. I'm really proud of that joke. You were still talking because I wanted to. I'm very proud of it. It's a callback to the map moment. But you did say you have to take a break.
Oh,
we'll bask.
You wait. I gave you a map. Do you still have your map of Los Angeles?
Sure.
No. See, that is so wrong. That is so. You're gonna appreciate it one day, son. I'm telling you, find it. You will appreciate it. Just like I told you, your earthquake backpack. Remember, wait a minute, brand new underwear, socks. You were what, 19 years old? You know, when I left L.A. and you were there. Okay, so we're talking brand new underwear, socks. Yep, I said it twice. Money, food, like granola bars and 2 bottles of water. You remember that?
You've never let me forget it.
Some different shoes were made it kind of heavy. 18 years later, and...
I'm still hearing about the earthquake kit that was, used earlier than intended.
Okay, we have to take a break, and then I'm going to come back completely rejuvenated, and you're going to get it, dude. I'm going to let you know how important this is. Okay, you are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour. I'll be right back. It is now 10:37 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour, which is a part of Steel Talkin', and I sure appreciate you sticking and staying with us. We always have a good time in this hour. Michael, welcome back. Michael Battle, are you there?
I am. Yes, thank you.
Okay, is the earth shaking or something? Feeling an earthquake right now? What?
No, I was just switching the microphone right when you said that and missed the very first part, so apologies. But, hey, I wanted to tell you an interesting story about what happened at your favorite place, Disneyland, yesterday.
Okay.
So first, I want to go back to last weekend where I think I mentioned to you I went to the parks with Joey to pop in to get some merchandise for the 55th anniversary of Club 33.
Right.
And you have to be there to actually buy the merchandise. So we popped in. And as we were leaving the parks, I look over and I go, that woman over there looks a lot like Kiara Sheard, who's the gospel singer, who's the daughter of Karen Clark Sheard, who's one of the Clark sisters' very famed gospel group. And Kiara Sheard, formerly Kiki Sheard, she started when she was a kid as a singer and really came up as like the youthful voice in the Church of God in Christ black gospel style. She's an amazing singer, incredible runs like her mom, ultra soprano like her mom. Anyway, I said, that looks like her eating ice cream, walking in the parks. I'm like, no, she doesn't live here. Nah, we're going home. Let's walk out here. I get home, I open Instagram, and she posts a video of her and her friends inside the parks eating ice cream. I'm like, I should have gone and said something. And,
her music. I can't believe you didn't go say hello.
It didn't look exactly like her, but we didn't have our mask on. And I was like, I think that's, it's fine. That's probably not her. Because it just didn't make sense why she would randomly be at Disneyland just hanging out.
Anybody could randomly be at Disney World, though. I mean, Disneyland.
Of course. I just didn't run back to go see if I was right. How you see someone in passing, you're like, I think that was so-and-so. And you realize it totally was them. So fast forward to yesterday, we go for Joey's birthday, full day VIP tour, as I mentioned, we have a whole group of people with us, and we're on one of the rides that's partly, actually almost entirely outdoors, and we're with our tour guide, and I said, I hear black folks singing, And mind you, earlier, I kept seeing groups of like 20 and 30 black people together. I was waving. I was like, hi, beautiful people. So good to see you here. Look at all this. I kept saying things. They're like, who is this weird guy who just seems so like stunned that there is just a ton of black people here? I didn't know why. So we're on this ride, and I start hearing a full gospel choir.
Choir?
Just.
On the ride?
No, in the distance. And I said, am I hearing, like, does anyone else hear this? Like, there's a really good gospel choir singing. And she's like, oh, yeah, there's a show going on at the outdoor theater right over there. I was like, I'm sorry, a what? She says, yes, there's a gospel concert happening at Disneyland.
Wow.
And I was like, when we get off this ride, I'm going to need you to take me over there. So we get over there. And there's a whole step and repeat. There's a whole wall of history. And there's a whole lineup of gospel performers for this concert that goes on for several hours. And people outside, I mean, really good performers. There's a full band on stage. People of all colors watching the show. And on the step and repeat, also known as the red carpet with the big banner behind it that has pictures and names,
right.
I see a huge picture of Kiara Sheard, who performed last weekend. I should have known something was up. There was a two.
You just missed out, son. You just missed out.
Missed out. She was eating ice cream. She just finished performing on stage, and she was hanging out at the parks. I didn't even know. I missed one of my favorite gospel artists at the parks, but. So my friend Breton was there, and he's like, yeah, you know, my mom's taking to this. They've been doing some kind of gospel concert at Disneyland for years now. They get churches in the L.A. area involved, and big gospel stars come perform. I had no idea. Our tour guide said, yes, they do this every year. I had no idea. I said, no one told me. And I went to the wall, and it was about five different six-foot-tall panels explaining the history of gospel music. And there were the Five Blind Boys of Alabama, who, of course, you and the family have performed with. And they went through all of this history of the different generations and styles of gospel music. And I'm reading it, and I'm looking at it, and there was the choir on stage was singing Walter Hawkins' Thank You, I think is the name of the song.
Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
They're singing that song, which that always has a very special place in my heart. And I'm reading this panel, and I'm seeing all the beautiful blackness, and it's Black History Month. When I tell you, I just started bawling. I had to turn towards the panel, and the tour guy was next to me. I just started crying, and then Joey was there, and he knew. And he said, it's because it's at Disneyland. I said, yes. I have never been in that space, a place that you know I love so much. It's so near and dear to my heart. I have never experienced that level of blackness, that much beautiful African-American history and culture and music being displayed in such glory and honor across something I love so much. And having those two beautiful parts of my life conflate in that moment as a surprise to me, it was overwhelming. And if you had told me, hey, this is going to happen to you, you're going to see this history, you're going to see these pictures, and you're going to see a brand that you love really display in a undeniably tangible way their commitment to Black History Month, well, how are you going to react? I would say, oh, that'd be so cool and so wonderful. I didn't think it was going to hit me that fast, that hard. I just cried. And I made the whole group wait through like two more groups. And, I finally wiped the tears, and I'm watching the next gospel group. It was a whole choir, and they are moving and clapping and stomping. And then the music breaks down, and they keep going. And there's women with tambourines watching the show. There was a whole praise break. People were in the aisle stomping. I said, this is the blackest thing I've ever seen at Disneyland, and I love it. Dude, what is happening right now?
Did you let them know that?
I mean, I told the tour guide, I explained to her, because it was actually my first time meeting her. Joey knew. And with the rest of our guests, like, they were there for part of it, but I held that moment for myself. You know, I didn't need to explain to every person there what that was like, but I let her know, as the employee of Disney, what it meant to be in that space. And I told her, I said, there are only three black members of Club 33 in the country. I am one of three. When I'm in that space, I'm usually the only person of color in the room, especially black person in the room. So, when I have the chance, I definitely say this is why this means a lot to me, and this is why representation at any age, it's not just about kids. I'm 36 years old, and I still cried seeing that level of representation in a space I love so much.
So, Michael, with this being Black History Month, and, you know, there's been so many events. I've never seen this many events happening, whether it's outside, inside, on television, at the movie theaters. It's really incredible how much information has been out there this year for Black History Month. And many of us say, well, you know, this should just keep going. We should, you know, whether it's Ebony or any of the black magazines or black newspapers like Minnesota Spokesman Recorder that's been around for, you know, decades. I mean, they're the oldest black newspaper, period, in the country. And so we keep watching all of this unfold. And my big question is, it's beautiful. I mean, I've cried tears watching some of it on television or watching some of it happening when I'm driving. And all of a sudden you see this poster or, you know, this group of people doing something beautiful. And I keep saying to myself, is it okay to just have 1 month to celebrate that? Or should we and those who support and love those that are in their family, African Americans, should we allow this to just keep going every month? Should we be talking about it and showing things about it? I mean, what do you think?
So I think it's yes and no. And knowing that, obviously, these events are programmed during Black History Month, and this is a high concentration of wonderful events, as you just mentioned. And, you know, it's difficult to sustain that for any group throughout a whole year because there's budgets and it just takes a lot of planning. That said, a lot of people, me being one of them, have now seen what is possible. We've seen the commitment and the actualization to a commitment. Of a commitment that corporate America can put out there. So my generation especially, excuse me, we want to work at companies that walk the walk. We want to play at companies that walk the walk, purchase from companies that walk the walk. So when I see a gospel concert at Disneyland, when I see, you know, by the company that where I work put a foot down and actually act upon their commitment to diversity, it means the world. And we're trying to seek out more places to be in and spend our money that believe that. So it may not be this level of events, but I think the norm will be that if you want to be a global company, if you really want to grow at scale, the math has shown, the data has shown, you're going to have to display a serious and continuous commitment to honoring diverse faces throughout the year.
Oh, wow. Okay, Michael, we got to take a break, and we'll come back with our final segment in just a moment. I love this song. Welcome back, everyone. As we wrap up this hour, it has been just a joy being here with you. And I want to allow Jonathan to tell a short story, Michael, because you remember how we used to always talk about how Minnesotans are fortified. I remember when you were growing up and, you know, it'd be snowing outside, deep snow, man. And there were still people that had on tennis shoes, flip flops. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I used to think, oh, my gosh, how is it Minnesotans can do that? Right. And you are one of them. You're born and raised, you and your sister right here, and you know, you would still never do that, although that one time you guys just had on a jacket and you thought you could get through the skyways, and then they were all locked. I bet you found out then, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. Also, I think youth is a big part of that. You know, when you're young and you're in high school and the Twin Cities, you're like, oh, you know, it's 5 degrees, it's fine. I'll throw on some shorts and go outside really quick. But I think when you get a bit older, you start to realize the real temperature outside. But what is Jonathan's story?
So, okay, Jonathan, you got a few minutes. Go.
So I had family members come into town this weekend. Shout out to the Addisons. You know, shout out. Yeah, y'all, thanks for coming up. And we went to the Timberwolves game on Friday. So after the game, we're deciding, okay, let's go get something to eat. So we went around the block and down the block to Pizza Luce. Went in and had a great post-game dinner, and everything was great. So we had parked just around the station, right across from the government center. And I said, hey, let's hop on the light rail so we can take a few stops down, not have to walk 6-8 blocks in four above, hello, to get back to our cars.
I hope you were wrapped up because you could have lost something.
Oh, trust me. It was close. It was close.
Yeah.
So we're walking to the light rail station at Target Field because that's the closest one. As we're walking up, there's about 30 to 40 young folks, I'd say in the neighborhood range of about 21 to 23, that are walking the other way, and none of them have coats on. Some of them have T-shirts. Some of them have ripped jeans. You got some young women that have their midriff showing. And
it is now 10:37 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour, which is a part of Steel Talkin', and I sure appreciate you sticking and staying with us. We always have a good time in this hour. Michael, welcome back. Michael Battle, are you there?
I am. Yes, thank you.
Okay, is the earth shaking or something? You know, are you feeling an earthquake right now? What?
No, I was just switching the microphone right when you said that and missed the very first part, so apologies. But, hey, I wanted to tell you an interesting story about what happened at your favorite place, Disneyland, yesterday.
Okay.
So first, I want to go back to last weekend where I think I mentioned to you I went to the parks with Joey to pop in to get some merchandise for the 55th anniversary of Club 33.
Right.
And you have to be there to actually buy the merchandise. So we popped in. And as we were leaving the parks, I look over and I go, you know, that woman over there looks a lot like Kiara Sheard, who's the gospel singer, who's the daughter of Karen Clark Sheard, who's one of the Clark sisters' very famed gospel group. And Kiara Sheard, formerly Kiki Sheard, well, you know, she started when she was a kid as a singer and really came up as like the youthful voice in the Church of God in Christ black gospel style. She's an amazing singer, incredible runs like her mom, also soprano like her mom. Anyway, I said, you know, that looks like her eating ice cream, walking in the parks. I'm like, no, she doesn't live here. Nah, we're going home. Let's walk out here. I get home. I open Instagram, and she posts a video of her and her friends inside the parks eating ice cream. I'm like, I should have gone and said something. And,
you love her music. I can't believe you didn't go say hello.
It didn't look exactly like her, you know, but we didn't have our mask on. And I was like, I think that's, you know what, it's fine. That's probably not her. Because it just didn't make sense why she would randomly be at Disneyland just hanging out.
Anybody could randomly be at Disney World, though. I mean, Disneyland.
Of course. I just didn't run back to go see if I was right. You know, you see someone in passing, you're like, oh, I think that was so-and-so. And you realize it totally was them. So fast forward to yesterday, we go for Joey's birthday, full day VIP tour, as I mentioned. We have a whole group of people with us. And we're on one of the rides that's partly, actually almost entirely outdoors. And we're with our tour guide. And I said, I hear black folks singing. And mind you, earlier, I kept seeing groups of like 20 and 30 black people together. I was waving. I was like, hi, beautiful people. So good to see you here. Look at all this. I kept saying things. I'm like, who is this weird guy who just seems so like stunned that there's just a ton of black people here? I didn't know why. So we're on this ride, and I start hearing a full gospel choir.
Choir?
Just.
On the ride?
In the distance. And I said, am I hearing, like, does anyone else hear this? Like, there's a really good gospel choir singing. And she's like, oh, yeah, there's a show going on at the outdoor theater right over there. I was like, I'm sorry, a what? And she says, yes, there's a gospel concert happening at Disneyland.
Wow.
And I was like, when we get off this ride, I'm going to need you to take me over there. So we get over there, and there's a whole step and repeat. There's a whole wall of history, and there's a whole lineup of gospel performers for this concert that goes on for several hours. And people outside, I mean, really good performers. There's a full band on stage, people of all colors watching the show. And on the step and repeat, also known as the red carpet with the big banner behind it that has pictures and names,
right?
I see a huge picture of Kiara Sheard, who performed last weekend. I should have known something was up. There was a two.
You just missed out, son. You just missed out.
missed out. She was eating ice cream. She just finished performing on stage, and she was hanging out at the parks. I didn't even know. I missed one of my favorite gospel artists at the parks. But so my friend Breton was there, and he's like, yeah, you know, my mom's taking me to this. They've been doing some kind of gospel concert at Disneyland for years now. They get churches in the L.A. area involved, and big gospel stars come perform. I had no idea. Our tour guide said, yes, they do this every year. I had no idea. I said, no one told me. And I went to the wall, and it was about five different six-foot-tall panels explaining the history of gospel music. And there were the Five Blind Boys of Alabama, who, of course, you know, you and the family had performed with. And they went through all of this history of the different generations and styles of gospel music. And I'm reading it, and I'm looking at it, and there was the choir on stage was singing Walter Hawkins' Thank You, I think is the name of the song.
Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
They're singing that song, which that always has a very special place in my heart. And I'm reading this panel, and I'm seeing all this beautiful blackness, and it's Black History Month. When I tell you, I just started bawling. I had to turn towards the panel, and the tour guy was next to me. I just started crying, and then Joey was there, and he knew. And he said, it's because it's at Disneyland. I said, yes. I have never been in that space, a place that you know I love so much. It's so near and dear to my heart. I have never experienced that level of blackness, that much beautiful African-American history and culture and music being displayed in such glory and honor across something I love so much. And having those two beautiful parts of my life conflate in that moment as a surprise to me, it was overwhelming. And if you had told me, hey, this is going to happen to you, you're going to see this history, you're going to see these pictures, and you're going to see a brand that you love really display in a undeniably tangible way their commitment to Black History Month, well, how are you going to react? I would say, oh, that'd be so cool and so wonderful. I didn't think it was going to hit me that fast, that hard. I just cried. And I made the whole group wait through like two more groups. And, you know, I finally wiped the tears, and I'm watching the next gospel group. It was a whole choir, and they are moving and clapping and stomping. And then the music breaks down, and they keep going. And there's women with tambourines watching the show. There was a whole praise break. People were in the aisle stomping. I said, this is the blackest thing I've ever seen at Disneyland, and I love it. Dude, what is happening right now?
Did you let them know that?
I mean, I told the tour guide, I explained to her, because it was actually my first time meeting her. Joey knew. And with the rest of our guests, like, they were there for part of it, but I held that moment for myself. You know, I didn't need to explain to every person there what that was like, but I let her know, as the employee of Disney, what it meant to be in that space. And I told her, I said, there are only three black members of Club 33 in the country. I am one of three. When I'm in that space, I'm usually the only person of color in the room, especially black person in the room. So, when I have the chance, I definitely say this is why this means a lot to me, and this is why representation at any age, it's not just about kids. I'm 36 years old, and I still cried seeing that level of representation in a space I love so much.
So, Michael, with this being Black History Month, and you know, there's been so many events. I've never seen this many events happening, whether it's outside, inside, on television, at the movie theaters. It's really incredible how much information has been out there this year for Black History Month. And many of us say, well, you know, this should just keep going. We should, you know, whether it's Ebony or any of the black magazines or black newspapers like Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, that's been around for, you know, decades. I mean, they're the oldest black newspaper, period, in the country. And so we keep watching all of this unfold. And my big question is, it's beautiful. I mean, I've cried tears watching some of it on television or watching some of it happening when I'm driving. And all of a sudden you see this poster or, you know, this group of people doing something beautiful. And I keep saying to myself, is it okay to just have 1 month to celebrate that? Or should we, and those who support and love those that are in their family, African-Americans, should we allow this to just keep going every month? Should we be talking about it and showing things about it? I mean, what do you think?
So I think it's yes and no. And knowing that, obviously, these events are programmed during Black History Month, and this is a high concentration of wonderful events, as you just mentioned. And, you know, it's difficult to sustain that for any group throughout a whole year because there's budgets and it just takes a lot of planning. That said, a lot of people, me being one of them, have now seen what is possible. We've seen the commitment and the actualization to a commitment. Of a commitment that corporate America can put out there. So my generation especially, excuse me, we want to work at companies that walk the walk. We want to play at companies that walk the walk, purchase from companies that walk the walk. So when I see a gospel concert at Disneyland, when I see, you know, my company that where I work really put a foot down and actually act upon their commitment to diversity, it means the world. And we're trying to seek out more places to be in and spend our money that believe that. So it may not be this level of events, but I think the norm will be that if you want to be a global company, if you really want to grow at scale, the math has shown, the data has shown, you're going to have to display a serious and continuous commitment to honoring diverse faces throughout the year.
Oh, wow. Okay, Michael, we got to take a break, and we'll come back with our final segment in just a moment. I love this song. Welcome back, everyone. As we wrap up this hour, it has been just a joy being here with you. And I want to allow Jonathan to tell a short story, Michael, because you remember how we used to always talk about how Minnesotans are fortified. I remember when you were growing up and, you know, it'd be snowing outside, deep snow, man. And there were still people that had on tennis shoes, flip-flops. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I used to think, oh, my gosh, how is it Minnesotans can do that, right? And you are one of them. You're born and raised, you and your sister right here, and you know, you would still never do that, although that one time you guys just had on a jacket and you thought you could get through the skyways, and then they were all locked. I bet you found out then, didn't you?
Oh my goodness. Also, I think youth is a big part of that. You know, when you're young and you're in high school and the Twin Cities, you're like, oh, you know, it's 5 degrees, it's fine, I'll throw on some shorts and go outside really quick. But I think when you get a bit older, you start to realize the real temperature outside. But what is Jonathan's story?
Okay, Jonathan, you got a few minutes. Go.
So I had family members come into town this weekend. Shout out to the Addisons. You know, shout out. Yeah, y'all, thanks for coming up. And we went to the Timberwolves game on Friday. So after the game, we're deciding, okay, let's go get something to eat. So we went around the block and down the block to Pizza Luce. Went in and had a great post-game dinner, and everything was great. So we had parked just around the station, right across from the government center. And I said, hey, let's hop on the light rail so we can take a few stops down, not have to walk 6-8 blocks in four above, hello, to get back to our cars.
I hope you were wrapped up because you could have lost something.
Oh, trust me. It was close. It was close.
Yeah.
So we're walking to the light rail station at Target Field because that's the closest one. As we're walking up, there's about 30 to 40 young folks, I'd say in the neighborhood range of about 21 to 23, that are walking the other way, and none of them have coats on. Some of them have T-shirts. Some of them have ripped jeans. You got some young women that have their midriff showing, and my cousin, she looks at me, and she's like, what are these people thinking? Now, keep in mind, These are parents and the two young boys are with us. They're 13 and 10. And so the boys are with us walking. And so they go into parent mode right away. They're like, what are they thinking with all no half naked going out here? And I just said, welcome to Minnesota.
But wait a minute. So this was after the game?
This was after the game. This was about 11:30.
And these young people were potentially at the game?
No.
Necessarily.
No, they got off the light rail. They looked like they were maybe either in college or just out of college, that age range. No, they had just gotten off at the light rail stop and were running and were getting down toward, like I said, Cowboy Jack's or the Loon Cafe or Brothers or one of those fine establishments down on First Avenue.
Yeah, so I'm going to say that was a combination of the aforementioned youth plus alcohol. You know, I think that also could cause that yeah. reaction where you just think it's okay and it's warm. You're good to go, you know.
Would brain damage be included in that? Because yeah. the alcohol, they said, sometimes lead to brain damage.
I'm just Maybe. Saying Minnesotans are fortified. Seriously.
No,
they are.
Let's not forget.
Minnesotans are nuts.
No. I totally disagree. And see, you're from out of state, so come on now.
Technically,
Jonathan.
You're both from out of state. I'm the only Minnesota born in the conversation.
He's correct. He is right.
That's true. But,
you know.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Come on, Jonathan. Yes. You got to be kidding me. The scream after all these years, it comes up.
He snuck it in under the buzzer. He snuck it in.
I love it. Thank you, Jonathan. That was unexpected and wonderful.
See? It really is the culture of Minnesotans. Minnesotans are fortified. And so I've seen many people out in tennis shoes or, you know, really walking in the snow with tennis shoes, and it's super cold outside, below zero wind chills. So, you know, it's quite impressive.
It's impressive. We also just, you know, came through the first part of a pandemic. So I think the rules have changed. People are going to wear what they're going to wear. They're taking a walk. They're going outside. I'm sure they have outfits they never got to wear. So just put them all on and go out and see what happens.
Well, enough said. Jonathan, that's a funny story. I'm sure the pizza was hot at first, but it did not protect any of you guys. I bet y'all were suited and booted and down feathered coats and boots up to your knees.
For me, everything except for my shoes. I didn't have on my boots. I was trying to help out the boys. Boys had tennis shoes on. I had tennis shoes on. That was the only thing. Other than that, yeah. Gloves.
That's
hat,
enough, though. Do you
coat,
not need
everything.
Your feet? Do you not need your feet?
My feet
and your
were my feet were okay. My feet.
But
were,
your ankles.
My feet were okay. My
you
hands
walk
were
right off
my
of your
hands
legs.
Hurt.
Oh my gosh.
The fingers and the hands. That was the problem. My feet. They worked out.
It's been a pleasure being on with you, everyone listening tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, Michael. You know I love you.
I love you too.
All right, and Jonathan, thanks for everything that you do. Also want to say thank you to the two producers, Chris Tubbs, as well as Craig Schofer. We call him Hammer. Thank you guys for all that you did for tonight's show, and we'll see you next Sunday. I love this song. Welcome back, everyone. As we wrap up this hour, it has been just a joy being here with you. And I want to allow Jonathan to tell a short story, Michael, because you remember how we used to always talk about how Minnesotans are fortified. I remember when you were growing up and, you know, it'd be snowing outside, deep snow, man. And there were still people that had on tennis shoes, flip-flops. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I used to think, oh, my gosh, how is it Minnesotans can do that, right? And you are one of them. You were born and raised, you and your sister right here, and you know, you would still never do that, although that one time you guys just had on a jacket and you thought you could get through the skyways, and then they were all locked. I bet you found out then, didn't you?
Oh my goodness. Also, I think youth is a big part of that. You know, when you're young, you're in high school and the Twin Cities, you're like, oh, you know, it's 5 degrees, it's fine, I'll throw on some shorts and go outside really quick. But I think when you get a bit older, you start to realize the real temperature outside. But what is Jonathan's story?
Okay, Jonathan, you got a few minutes. Go.
So I had family members come into town this weekend. Shout out to the Addisons. You know, shout out. Yeah, y'all, thanks for coming up. And we went to the Timberwolves game on Friday. So after the game, we're deciding, okay, let's go get something to eat. So we went around the block and down the block to Pizza Luce. Went in and had a great post-game dinner, and everything was great. So we had parked just around the station, right across from the government center. And I said, hey, let's hop on the light rail so we can take a few stops down, not have to walk 6-8 blocks in four above, hello, to get back to our cars.
I hope you were wrapped up because you could have lost something.
Oh, trust me, it was close. It was close.
Yeah.
So we're walking to the light rail station at Target Field because that's the closest one. As we're walking up, there's about 30 to 40 young folks, I'd say, in the neighborhood range of about 21 to 23 that are walking the other way, and none of them have coats on. Some of them have T-shirts. Some of them have ripped jeans. You got some young women that have their midriff showing, and my cousin, she looks at me, and she's like, what are these people thinking? Now, keep in mind, these are parents with and the two young boys are with us. They're 13 and 10. And so the boys are with us walking, and so they go into parent mode right away. They're like, what are they thinking with all no half naked going out here? And I just said, welcome to Minnesota.
But wait a minute. So this was after the game?
This was after the game. This was about 11:30.
And these young people were potentially at the game?
No.
Not necessarily.
They got off the light rail. They looked like they were maybe either in college or just out of college, that age range. No, they had just gotten off at the light rail stop and were running and were getting down toward, like I said, Cowboy Jack's or the Loon Cafe or Brothers or one of those fine establishments down on First Avenue.
Yeah, so I'm going to say that was a combination of the aforementioned youth plus alcohol. You know, I think that also could cause that reaction where you just think it's okay and it's warm. You're good to go, you know.
Would brain damage be included in that? Because the alcohol, they said, sometimes lead to brain damage.
I'm just saying Minnesotans are fortified. Seriously.
No, they are.
Let's not forget.
Minnesotans are nuts. They're nuts.
No. I totally disagree. And see, you're from out of state, so come on now.
Technically,
Jonathan,
you're both from out of state. I'm the only Minnesota born in the conversation.
He's correct. He is right.
That's true. But,
you know.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Come on, Jonathan. Yes. You got to be kidding me. The scream after all these years, it comes up.
He snuck it in under the buzzer. He snuck it in.
I love it. Thank you, Jonathan. That was unexpected and wonderful.
See? It really is the culture of Minnesotans. Minnesotans are fortified. And so I've seen many people out in tennis shoes or, you know, really walking in the snow with tennis shoes, and it's super cold outside, below zero wind chills. So, you know, it's quite impressive.
It's impressive. We also just, you know, came through the first part of a pandemic. So I think the rules have changed. People are going to wear what they're going to wear. They're taking a walk. They're going outside. I'm sure they have outfits they never got to wear. So just put them all on and go out and see what happens.
Well, enough said. Jonathan, that's a funny story. I'm sure the pizza was hot at first, but it did not protect any of you guys. I bet y'all were suited and booted and down feathered coats and boots up to your knees.
For me, everything except for my shoes. I didn't have on my boots. I was trying to help out the boys. Boys had tennis shoes on. I had tennis shoes on. That was the only thing. Other than that, yeah. Gloves.
That's
hat,
enough, though. Do you
coat,
not need
everything.
Your feet? Do you not need your feet?
My feet were okay.
Ankles.
My feet were okay.
My hands hurt.
Oh my gosh. The fingers and the hands. That was the problem. My feet, they worked out.
It's been a pleasure being on with you, everyone listening tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Michael, you know I love you.
I love you too.
All right, and Jonathan, thanks for everything that you do. Also want to say thank you to the two producers, Chris Tubbs, as well as Craig Schofer. We call him Hammer. Thank you guys for all that you did for tonight's show, and we'll see you next Sunday.